So many marriages out there are just in this state of hopelessness. And so many of you are asking the question, is there even hope for my marriage? And so today, we want to answer that question for you, and we want to encourage you because, yes, there is hope for your marriage. So stay tuned. Hello, folks. Welcome back to another episode of the Redeemed Marriage Podcast. Oh my goodness. She found little toys to play with.
There's buttons on this thing that are so fun. I never knew what any of them meant.
Well, see, yeah.
You didn't tell me on purpose because you knew I'd play with them and have too much fun.
Yeah, There's
one that makes your voice sound like a chipmunk. But I don't know where that one is.
Oh, my goodness. So, all right. That's our rewind button, because we need to rewind this joker. My name is Rusty Bryant. I don't know who in the world she is.
Heather Bryant.
It seems like she might be my wife. Maybe. I'll let you guys know soon.
It's been a fun day. I'm in a great mood.
Yeah, you are. Mm-hmm. I'm glad. So we are, this is the Redeemed Marriage Podcast. I think you probably know that if you are listening, you found us. I said I wasn't going to say this, but we're trying to incorporate video more into what we're doing, because a lot of you came on our survey and said that you wanted to see video. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do some things over the coming months. We've been saying that, but we finally have this incredible studio.
Yes!
Podcast, and so Cassie on Design is the one. So yep. go check her out. But she has redesigned our entire studio, so we have this podcast studio upstairs where we also have a space to do some video and stuff. But we're going to try to video and record our podcast just as it is in the audio form, but we're going to put it on YouTube. And we're trying that today, but we're still playing around. We're going to have to get some audio equipment and stuff like that.
They may not can hear us real good.
So here's why I'm saying all that. If you want to go to our YouTube channel, theredeemedmarriage.com, go ahead and subscribe, because there's going to be stuff coming. And it might be that this podcast is on there.
Yeah, maybe.
But maybe not.
And you know what I just thought of? The people watching the video, they can't hear that.
No, they can't.
So they missed that completely. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah, they're probably like, what just happened? What is she doing? Why are y'all laughing at nothing? Anywho. All right. But it has been a good day, because we are actually recording this on Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
Which is part of the reason why we have chosen the topic that we've chosen for today. And we wanted to just be able to answer the question, is there hope for my marriage? And we feel like a lot of people tune into us because they are looking for some hope, and they want to hear something that's going to give them some sort of a lifeline to, you know, is my marriage going to even make it? And so we've been thinking about it a lot over the last few days, a lot of social media posts, just kind of dealing with, you know, how you can go from the worst of the worst to this just new marriage and the hope that there is in that. And so we wanted just to be able to talk about that today, and we really don't have a script. If you are watching this, you're seeing Heather turn some pages and stuff, but I think it's just your notes from sermon today.
Yeah, it's my sermon notes, because there's one quote in here that I want to, you know, at some point pull out whenever.
And that's the thing. You know, sometimes we do have, hey, we want to tell you the five things that you can do to, you know, whatever. But today we're just talking.
Yeah.
And the reason why we're just talking is, you know, Friday was Good Friday. And we started just thinking about the words that have to do with Good Friday. And so much of, you know, if you just try to describe what happened on Good Friday, which is obviously for those of us who are Christians and believers, it was the crucifixion of Jesus. And those days, or that day, to just describe it in the words that you would use to describe it would be all hopelessness. Everything, all the words would be, mm-hmm. there is no hope. Because that's what the people were feeling when Jesus was hanging on the cross. Even though he told them that there was going to be hope, they saw him dying. And so as they were in the middle of it, there was no hope. It was despair and death and darkness and hopelessness. All of those things, those are the words that could describe that day. And as I was thinking about those words, I mean, it just hit me that like 12 years ago, and again, I don't know when these people are listening to this. Maybe somebody's listening to this 5 years from now. Hopefully we'll still be doing this podcast 5 years from now. But so maybe, you know, for a point of reference, it's 2011 would be 12 years ago.
Right.
But
I thought you were saying it's 2011.
It is not 2011 right now.
Yes. People are, so it was like 12 and a half years ago.
12 and a half years ago. Mm-hmm. But for those of you that are, we're not going to go into our entire story, but we have a lot of new listeners. We get new listeners every week. And by the way, if you are a new listener to the Redeemed Marriage Podcast, there are like 140 episodes. Mm-hmm. Please go check it out. You can find all sorts of topics on marriage. But we know a lot of people come and tune in because they want some hope. And if you're not real sure about our story or haven't heard it, the gist of it is that in 2011, which is what we were just referring to, August the 23rd, Heather came to me and confessed to being unfaithful. And a few days later, the whole story came out and it was a mess. So, you know, people ask sometimes or want to know why we're so public, why we tell our story so publicly. And for us, we didn't really have a choice because it was very public. A lot of stuff in the community that sort of forced it to be out in the public. And so we went on this journey. This was completely out of the blue. So go back and listen to our story if you've not already heard it. But I mean, we were high school sweethearts, had been, you know, dated for 7 years, married for 15 when this happened, and I had no idea. And so then as all the information started coming out over the next few days, we started just, how are we ever going to recover from this? I mean, it was all of those words that I just said about Good Friday described our marriage.
Yeah.
Everything. All the words. So hopelessness, darkness, just despair, destruction, broken, betrayal. I mean, you name it, that's where we were in our marriage. And so I know there's people out there listening that they resonate with our story because maybe there's been infidelity, just like our story. But it doesn't have to be that. Right. Like, there are marriages where one spouse or the other or both, they're just asking the question, is there any hope? And there's other stuff. It and some of it may just be they're like, I don't even want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that I can do this. And maybe you think, I don't love my spouse anymore. This is not what I signed up for. We're just roommates. We're not even in love. You know, all of those things that may be going through your head. And it may be my spouse has an addiction. You know, my spouse has committed adultery or had an affair. Or, you know, my spouse...
Pornography,
that was the other thing. Oh, yes, all of those. You're helping me out.
Well, when you said addiction, I was like, it could be that, but it could be other types of addiction too.
Yeah. And so all these things that, you could be dealing with, and you just are going, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. You know, is there, you know, why am I staying in this? Is there hope? And so that's what we want to talk about today.
Yeah.
Is,
and you know, my
answering that question.
Yeah. My heart goes out to you for the people who they feel like they're the only one fighting for their marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, like maybe their spouse just isn't locked in, you know, and they're the only one pulling the weight in the marriage. And I just think about those people. It's easy to give up hope in those situations because you're like, I'm the only one trying. I'm the only one listening to this podcast. I'm the mm-hmm. only one, you know. And so that could definitely be the situation too.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we could really go through like the whole Easter weekend and relate it to marriage. And, you know, that's kind of, to me, sometimes what I think about is like Saturday,
mm-hmm.
the day of waiting.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, yeah, there's this despair and destruction, and I do have hope for, you know, the saying, Sunday's coming. You know, it's yeah. Friday, but Sunday's coming. Yeah. Well, there's a Saturday in between.
That's right.
And that Saturday in between is that period of waiting.
Right.
And, you know, what do you do in that waiting period? And of course, that's a whole nother episode in itself,
right?
Which we have done that before. You can go back and look for those, but and maybe, you know, we need to revisit some of that stuff. But what we want to do is we just want to talk about how if you feel like you're stuck in that Good Friday spot and you feel like there's no hope, is there hope? And you know, why is right. there hope? And right. why have hope in the midst of the turmoil and everything else that's going on in your life and in your marriage? So, what I was thinking about throughout, just trying to process, I mean, really just as Good Friday hit and thinking about the, all of the negativity and the destruction and the hopelessness and all of that. And then trying to get to a place where it's like, well, is there hope for all these marriages out there that are going, what do I do? And the reason why we are so adamant about sharing our story is because people need sometimes to see hope before they have hope of their own.
Yeah.
And I know for us in 2011, one of the first things that we did, at least for me, I was desperately trying to find some... You're about to try to sneeze.
No, I'm trying to not sneeze.
But we were desperately trying to find a story that we could relate to because we felt so alone. Just like we're the only people going through this. Yeah. We have to be the only people mm-hmm. that have ever gone through
ever.
This. I mean, that's
and
what we
knew that wasn't true, but that's what it felt like.
Yeah, because people just won't talk about it, and they don't talk about it, and there's reason. There are lots of reasons for that. We're not telling people to start a podcast.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, God may call you to that at some point, but your story can have an effect on a lot of people. And so because there it is.
Sorry about that.
So, but our story was public. And so we had this opportunity to walk it out. Yeah. And honestly, we were walking out a miracle of God in front of ourselves and in front of other people. And I, you know, I think about just like when anything traumatic happens to you in life, you know, the first thing you do is you want to go find somebody mm-hmm. that's had that experience. I mean, it could be anything. I mean, an injury.
Yeah. Well, and I remember doing that when I was walking through breast cancer.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted somebody who had been through what I had been through, and not only that, but was then cancer free.
Right.
And what that, you know, life after cancer looked like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though it was the hard days of losing your hair and being sick and all the chemo treatments and all of that, I could look at somebody and say, they went through it and they made it.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but their hair grew back and they're living life to the fullest. And, you know, so, even when Luke tore his ACL, you know, he was following along with people who had gone through it before. And not only that, CJ Wentz.
Carson Wentz.
So where did CJ come from?
I have no idea.
Carson Wentz had tore his ACL on the same day Luke did. And
he's an NFL quarterback, for those of you who don't know.
Yeah. And Carson is, not CJ.
Neither is Luke.
But anyway, Carson Wentz, he's an NFL quarterback, and he tore his ACL on the same day Luke did. And watching Luke watch Carson's
recovery
was really neat, because it was like, oh, well, he's here and I'm here, you know. And so in a way, he was walking through that with him. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing to have somebody ahead and amazing to have somebody with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and that's where we draw our hope from sometimes, is just from other people's story.
Right.
And so we say that all the time. If you don't have any hope, borrow some of ours for a time, you know. And really what we mean by that is, like, look at our story and go, okay, they made it through the worst of the worst, and so we can make it too. Mm-hmm. And so I think about, like, well, okay, that's great. Your story, our story, it worked out, you know, but what about my story?
Yeah.
You know, my story might be different. And yes, it might be different. But here's the other thing that I want everybody to grasp a hold of and to try to live out this hope. The hope is not in your marriage, and it's not in your spouse. Your hope is in what God can do.
That's right.
And so on Friday, God's son, Jesus, was dead. Like, he died. And they stuck him in a tomb. And they put a big old stone in front of it. And then the miracle happened. And 3 days later, he was alive. So God is a God of miracles, and he's a God that brings dead things back to life.
Yeah.
And he does that in individual lives, but he also does it in marriages.
Absolutely.
And we see it all over the place. We see marriages all the time come literally from death to life.
Yeah.
And so if you wonder if there's hope for your marriage, there is, because of the God that is a God of miracles. Now, you may need a miracle, but it starts with you asking for a miracle, and it starts for you being willing to let God do a miracle.
Yeah.
Because I think that so many people, they're like, okay, yeah, you know, I do think, you know, God can do something, so I'm going to sit back here and just let him go with it, you know. And a part of that, and I'm not saying that you're doing all of the work. You do have to put in lots of work. God will perform the miracle in your heart, and he can perform it in your spouse's heart, but you have to allow it. And I remember when we went to our marriage intensive, that was one of the first things that they asked us on the phone. Like, even before they let us go to the marriage intensive, they literally asked each one of us separately, are you willing to allow God to work a miracle in your marriage?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I just think that there's people out there, they may say that, but they don't, not really.
Yeah.
I mean, they're
just... Or they say it, but they don't believe he'll do it.
They don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, people, if you are in that spot where there's no, where you feel like there's no hope, you got nowhere else to turn. Like, turn to God, because he is a miracle worker. And here's the great thing. Our pastor talked about this today when he talked about miracles.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about how when some people ask for miracles, quite honestly, they ask for stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we ask for things sometimes, and God hears them, and God can do all kinds of miracles, and he does. He's still in the miracle-making business. But like, you read through Scripture, and I can tell you one thing that God is for all the time. All the time. He is for marriage. And he wants your marriage to be a correct picture of him. He wants it to point people to him. He wants your marriage to be successful. That's why you have a covenant. That's why you come before God and you commit and you say your vows. And God wants that to... He wants your marriage to stay together. He wants it to be... So as you're praying for this and as you're believing that God can do it, it's not like you're believing that God's going to send you a new Ferrari, like right. our pastor said. You're not praying for a new Ferrari. You're praying for your marriage.
Yeah.
Now, there's also roadblocks there. The roadblocks sometimes can be your own heart. But most of the time, if you're believing and you're praying for it and nothing's happening, then the roadblock can be your spouse as well. Mm-hmm. Because obviously, the successful marriage is not going to happen with just one spouse. And so that's when you start praying. You're believing for a miracle. You have hope. And then you start praying for a miracle in your spouse's life and in your spouse's heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what about that couple? What about that the spouse that's going, I am doing that.
Right.
And nothing's happening right. in my spouse's heart.
Right. Well, what the first thing that comes to mind is that there's Saturday. I mean, the waiting. I mean, and that's hard because yeah. you're like, you know, he died. He died on Sunday night and Friday night. And it's there's death there. And that waiting, it's not like in the waiting they were celebrating. They hurt through the waiting. Mm. There were tears through the waiting. There were crying out in the waiting. And they were waiting for God to do something big. And so I think a lot of times it is just waiting on God to answer or waiting on God to change the other person's heart. Mm. And, you know, when you were talking, I was thinking about how sometimes we ask for things that we would think God would want, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know, I just think about our boys and praying that they would end up at the right college and, oh, we want something good for them. And we want, and we were like, he's a good God and his character is good. So surely he would want this good thing for our child, or surely he would want this thing. But then you're like, maybe that's not in his plan. You know, maybe that college that we think would be wonderful for our child, or that girlfriend, or that whatever that we're praying for that we think would be wonderful for our child, but maybe that's not in God's plan for him, and we just think it is. But that's not the case with marriages. There's not going to be a time, unless, of course, we have talked about abuse, habitual sin, all of those things. We would never tell you to stay in a marriage like that. But in the marriages that are just stuck and can't get anywhere, he wants to work on miracle there mm-hmm. because that's his desire, and that's his design mm-hmm. is for marriages to be. I mean, it talks about it being like the husband, help me, the bride mm-hmm. of Christ. Right. You know, sorry.
I don't know. You just threw me under the bus because I don't know where you're going with this.
Sorry. You're supposed to be able to read my mind. But like he cherishes marriages. And like you said, we are under covenant with him as a couple and to our spouse. And so you never have to wonder if God wants to save your marriage.
Mm-hmm. But then, and there's that flip side of that too, where you say, well, you're waiting and, you know, what's God's plan and, you know, what's in God's timing, all of that. But there's also just the reality of sin mm-hmm. and human choice. That's right. And so, you know, you may be watching your spouse just do stupid stuff.
Right. And not choose Jesus.
And not choosing God. And God may be trying to work a miracle in his mm-hmm. or her heart.
Right. Sure.
And the spouse is just rejecting it. Now, does that mean that that's going to continue forever and ever? Well, that's our prayer, and that's your hope, is that God can work the miracle in his time.
Right. Well, and God is the only one that can change somebody's heart.
Yeah. I mean, like, the whole sermon today, it started off with, what is a miracle? Well, a miracle is if this thing is going to happen, then God's got to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the quote.
Right.
And I wrote it down because I was like, yeah, that's exactly what a miracle is. And so many of you are right now, you're in your marriage and you're going, all right, if this is going to work, God's got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But he can.
Mm-hmm.
He can do it.
Right. Right.
And then I think beyond even that, where people kind of get to a point is, do I even want God to work? Like, you just get so stuck and frustrated in where you are in your marriage, and you just think, do I even want God to work a miracle? And
maybe it'd be easier if that miracle didn't happen.
Yes, and maybe you're even at a place where you're like, well, God has worked a miracle to where we've been able to forgive each other and we have reconciled, but the miracle that needs to happen is that we actually enjoy our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people get stuck here because it's like, yeah, we stuck it out and we're sticking it out, but there's no intimacy, there's no physical, spiritual, emotional, there's no connection. And it's like, God needs to work a miracle in that area too.
Right.
And so as you look at our story, what I want people to see is not just, man, they made it, you know? I mean, that, you know, there was betrayal and unfaithfulness and infidelity, and they decided to stay together, and they've made it 12 years. Hooray.
Right.
But that's not who we are. And
that's not the end of the story.
No. And the thing is that God's still writing our story, mm-hmm. which is amazing because we have two amazing boys that have gotten to journey along through us. And that hasn't been easy for them either. Mm-hmm. But journeying along with us and knowing that our God is a God of miracles because they've seen it walked out in their mom and dad's lives. But now on top of that, just the fact that the very thing that Satan used to try to destroy us is what God is using as a weapon
mm-hmm.
against Satan.
Against the enemy, that's right.
Is our story. And our story is a story of Satan trying to attack and destroy our marriage. And you better believe it, if you found us, if you have There's found our story, there is a reason.
Yep.
And it's just like every time we hear from somebody and we say, and you say, oh, your story has given me hope, and you know, we love listening to your pot, all that. I mean, I just feel like God is just sucker punching.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're sucker punching the enemy every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. I just felt so passionate about telling people that there's hope because we've just wrapped up Easter. Today is Easter. Tomorrow is the Monday after Easter. And most people are going to go back to normal life, having gone to church and gotten dressed up and listened to a sermon about, man, God can do anything. He had a son that was dead, and he's not dead anymore, and we worship a risen Savior, and then Monday comes, and it's just back to normal.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't want it to be back to normal for anybody. I want everybody's marriage to experience the miracle that our marriage experienced, and I want everybody, every marriage, to have the hope that our marriage had to have to get to where we are today.
Yeah. You know, one of the things Chip said today that I was like, oh, I'd never heard before, is he said that Jesus wasn't just raised from the dead. He was unleashed.
Mm.
And I was like, that is so good. Because if you have that thought of your marriage being dead and then in the waiting season, and then Jesus raised it from the dead, like just like he did our marriage. And then it was like, we're unleashed onto him through us, mm-hmm. not we, mm-hmm. but him through us are unleashed into the darkness that the enemy is trying to claim. And we tell people all the time, he is after our marriages, because the enemy goes for our marriages, Then he gets our children. Then he gets the family tree. Then he, I mean, it's generational.
Communities.
Of the damage. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Because of one marriage. I mean, it can be that powerful. The enemy can use that powerfully. But the fact that God can redeem that and restore that and wants to say, not today, Satan, and you're not having this marriage. And that's what I want people to hear and to claim. Like, you're not having my marriage. Like, you are not having my marriage. Yes, we may be stuck. Yes, I may be praying that for something that I don't even see in my spouse. Maybe it's, I don't even know if my spouse's heart can be changed. But I'm going to tell you, I know that God can change the hardest of hearts because he changed mine. And that's hope. I mean, if you're listening and you're like, my spouse is never going to change, if God wants to change their hearts, he will. And he can. And he can defeat death, and he can defeat the darkness. And so keep praying for that. You might be in Saturday, but Sunday's coming. You might be in Friday, but Sunday's coming. Like, all those 2 days leading up to the biggest day that as believers brings us the most hope that anybody could ever want or imagine.
You know, we did a episode not too long ago called "Why Didn't God Stop the Affair?" And you know, there's this turmoil and conflict inside of us that's like, why would God allow this stuff to happen?
That's right.
And like, I mean, you know, I had to battle that. Like, I mean, I have been a follower of Christ for a long time. Never perfect, obviously, but even during all of this, I was doing my best, failing, but doing my best to be a follower of Christ.
The best that a sinner can do.
That's right. And you still did what you did. And so many times I would go, why didn't God stop that? Like, I didn't have to go through that. Like, I didn't deserve to go through it, you know, all of those things. But God knew exactly what it was going to take for you to become the broken person that you were. And so we don't understand all that goes on in the spiritual realm, but it's real. And there is a battle for you and for your spouse, and there's a battle for your marriage. And as that's going on, you just keep fighting. You keep fighting, and you keep fighting on your knees in prayer for you, your spouse, your marriage, and let God battle, because there is hope. And last thing I want to say, did you need to say anything before closing?
Good.
The last thing that I wanted to say is, you guys, I mean, we have heard so many people that have said, well, I don't really want to share what I'm hearing from you guys, because then people think I have marriage problems.
Yeah.
and here's the thing. We don't ask people to share our podcast or social media stuff or videos or anything like that. None of it is for us. It is because we want as many marriages that need to hear this message of hope, we want them to be able to hear it. And I'm saying that because you may be scared to step out and share that you're aware of this story, because somebody might go, oh, no.
I wonder if that's their story,
I wonder
too.
If they must have gone through infidelity. And what I want to challenge you and encourage you is, you may be the access that somebody needs to get some hope. And so just by you sharing, sharing that you know of the redeemed marriage, or you know of a story with somebody, you might be the reason that they experience hope, because you're able to pass that along to them. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because we're not just for marriage. This is not a podcast for marriages that are going through infidelity. This is for every marriage, and every marriage needs hope. All right. So pass it along to somebody that needs it. Hey, thanks for listening. Sorry we went a little bit long today, but most of our followers and our listeners are going to be, yes, go long every time. Hey, thanks for listening. We just want to make sure that the story of hope for marriages gets in as many hands as we can get it into, or ears, I guess you can say. All right, so thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next time.